Good morning. I have three readings today. The first one is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The next reading is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the Lord appointed after other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, 'Peace be unto this house.' And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn against you." And the last reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of Father upon you, and tarry ye into the city of Jerusalem until ye be ended with power from on high."
Well, as we work through Luke's Gospel, we think of the commission to go into all the world at the end, and that's why we read 24. But chapters 9 and 10 was a precursor to that, as Jesus sent his disciples first, his 12, and then 70 out on a mission that prepared them for the time when they would be going out into all the world to take the Gospel. Mission. A woman fell overboard on a yacht. It was a big yacht. It was like it was a long way down. And almost immediately, a guy jumped in and rescued her and brought her back to where they threw down a ladder and they were able to get her up again. Afterwards, the person who was in charge said to the guy in front of all the others, "Wow, you know, that was an amazing thing you did. What moved you to jump?" And the guy said, "Well, to be honest, I was pushed." Sometimes I think when it comes to mission, whether it's to reach our neighbor beside us in the street where we live, or whether it's reaching out to people across the world and the idea of being a missionary, is like, I need to be pushed. It's something which we don't, we see the need, we see people dying without Christ, and we know the real need there is, but we need to be pushed. In the missionary movement over this last century, USA, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, and countries like that have been very much at the forefront of sending missionaries out to unreached peoples. And those numbers have dropped and dwindled, and yet there's been a surge in others going out. People from Asia especially, and Africa and India and places who are going out with the gospel to people groups in the neighboring places, not just neighboring. As you'll see on the next slide, I was in Brazil when I was young. Yeah, that's me there. My parents were missionaries in Brazil for 26 years, and we went and visited them when our first daughter was only one, not even one. So it was right back then. And we went out to the... Dad and I went for a trip out to the Amazon Basin, right into the jungles of the Amazon Basin. And we went and visited a tribe and found that this tribe had a missionary reaching them who'd come from Korea. He had left his church in Korea with his wife and family and had moved to Rondônia, it's called, in Brazil, and then were reaching out to this tribal people who lived in those big, lots of families in each one of those huge big buildings. All right, so Jesus calls us to follow him. He became one of us and came into the world, the Bible says, to save sinners. So why should we be involved in world mission? First, because we have a divine mandate. And mandate means that it is something we are commissioned or commanded to do, but it has the authority to do it. And so Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me, therefore go and make disciples." So it's a mandate on all Christians. How would you like to be transported back? I thought about this, you know, back in time, walk into the time machine and zip, you're back there, and you're there in Palestine with Jesus and his disciples and others all crowding around him, and to actually be one of those who followed him around, watching his miracles, listening to what he said, observing him, and being right there with him on that occasion, on those occasions. And listening to what he said and amazing things that he said and beautiful, incredible miracles, showing love and compassion to the people around. Then he turns to you and to the others and says, "All right, I'm sending you out. You've got to go into all the villages around here, two by two, 70 of you, come on. Don't take anything with you, no purse or no bag or extra pair of sandals, just go. Spread the news of the kingdom and heal the sick and so on." That's what Jesus did. And that's what he's doing today. He's sending the church out. In chapter 9, we read of the 12 going out. Then we saw in chapter 10 a wider group of 70. And then in chapter 24, all disciples are commissioned to go into all the world and make disciples. So we're sent to all the nations, because that's what he said in chapter 24. He said that repentance and forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations. It's always been on the heart of God that the message should go to all people. In Genesis chapter 12, where right back at the beginning, when Abraham was called by God to be the father of a nation, he said, "I will bless you and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And then in Isaiah 49, talking to the Israelite nation, he says, God says, I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. God has always had the ends of the earth in mind with the gospel. And so in the great end of time events, in Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, we read a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's God's heart. God's heart is for the world. I remember Keith Green in his last concert, one of his last concerts, was the only one that was ever videoed, filmed. And you can go on YouTube and find it. And he introduces the song, "Jesus Commands Us to Go." And he says these words, he says, "It's the last commandment that Jesus gave." He gave a lot of commandments, but the last commandment he gave was, go. Do you remember the last words that were important that a loved one who has passed on, maybe your father, grandfather, said to you? You remember the last words? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And in chapter 24, there's a little bit of Greek grammar, but it's really important to see. There are three infinitives. And so when it says that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead and repentance and forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations, it's not actually a command there. It is in Matthew, go into all the world. But here it's an infinitive with two others. So he's basically saying that it is for the Messiah to die. It is for the Messiah to rise again, and it is for that message to go to be preached in all the world. And so he's saying on equal level, Messiah must die, rise again, and forgiveness and repentance must be preached in all the world. The three hang together. What is the point of Jesus dying for the sins of the world and rising again to give life to all who come to him if it's not known by the people of the world? It's pointless. They hang together. God is not preoccupied with this nation. From sea to shining sea and beyond. Yes, he is concerned for this nation. And so should we be. But he's concerned for the whole world. And when God in his sovereignty allows huge numbers of people to come to this nation from those countries, which is very hard to reach in out to. You try being a missionary in a lot of those countries where people groups are now based here in this very city. You can't do it. We had people come from Iran to our church in Melbourne, and they came to faith, and we had to baptize them on a midweek so that it wasn't publicly known. And we had to then be very careful how we communicated with them on social media, because their families are back in Iran, and their families are really vulnerable to what attack and to being thrown into prison or worse. And so, but they were there in Australia, and so we were able to reach out in the gospel. There's more Iranians have come to faith in the last 20 years than for centuries before that. God is doing an amazing work in the Middle East, in places where we hear of all these terrible things happening. And in the midst of that, God is working, and thousands upon thousands are coming to faith. Because God uses these scenarios, these terrible things that happen, to bring people to a place where they're open to the gospel. Praise his name. And I know that every one of those ones, when they get to heaven, will look back and say, I praise God for ISIS, because of that, not because of their evil, not because of the atrocities they've done, but because as a result of that, I and my family and others I know have come to faith, and I for eternally happy and joyful and rejoicing in God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to notice when Jesus said to these people, go as lambs, like lambs among wolves. He first of all said go, but then he said go, in other words, in weakness. As a lamb among wolves. Think about that. Have a picture of a lamb. How can a lamb defend itself against a wolf? Against anything? I mean, it turns and runs. The wolf won't take four strides and it'll be up to it and catch it. There's just nothing that a lamb has to fight, to protect. It's vulnerable. It's defenseless. It's weak. And Jesus is saying to these 70, and of course to us, to everybody, I'm sending you out like lambs. You're weak. And you see the opposition against you if it's in a foreign land where the government and whatever is against Christians, or if it's here in this country, you still have wolves who will attack you because you stand up for truth and you stand up for righteousness and you stand up for the name of Jesus. But I'm sending you as lambs. I want you to realize you are weak, but I'm still sending you. How many of us feel weak when we want to share the gospel with our neighbor, or as we consider that God might be calling me to be a missionary and to go to an unreached people, or to be involved in our local outreach here to those very people? We are weak. I want you to notice that when you come to chapter 22, Jesus said to them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "No. I was with you. I provided." I actually skipped to my next point, so I'll go for it now. So sent not just in weakness, we are sent in urgency. And that's what it means when Jesus said, don't take your purse or your bag or your sandals, just one set of clothes, that's all you need, and you just go. Because this is urgent. You don't want to be cluttered up. You don't want to have stuff that will divert your attention. You've got to travel light. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be yours as well. You can trust me. You'll be provided for. And that's why he said at the end of chapter 22, many weeks later perhaps, I don't know how long it was after this particular time when Jesus said to them, "Well, when I sent you out like that, did you lack anything?" "No," they said. And don't greet one another on the road. In other words, don't be involved in trivial stuff when you've got a much higher priority. You're to stay focused and take the gospel to those who are in need. The urgency of the mission, once it is grasped by us, will then cause things to become trivial that once were important to us. Get that? Once we see the urgency of the task to take the gospel to these people who need to hear it, once that urgency really grips us, then things that we thought were important become trivial. It's not saying, you know, be rude to people, don't talk to them on the road and live like a pauper. It's saying, keep your focus, you're on a mission. And that's priority. Amen? So we have a divine mandate, and it includes finding a prepared people. That's the way I put it, because it says when you go into this village or this town or among these people, then you speak peace and you find a person of peace. In other words, you're speaking peace, you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which is peace, peace with God and peace ultimately on earth. The kingdom of God brings peace. Peace with God because our sins are forgiven and we are made right with God through the blood of Christ when he shed it on the cross for us and died in our place for our sins. Peace with God, but also peace with one another because we now have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and we love others and eventually the world will be under the kingdom of Christ and will be ruled in righteousness and peace. That's the message. So when you find a person of peace, a person who resonates with that, a person who responds, whom God has prepared, then he says, stay with that person. Marry yourself to that person, as it were. Perhaps the wrong word. But link yourself with that person, stay there, and reach out with the gospel. When I was in Australia on those 2 or 3 months when we were waiting for our visa renewal, you remember? About five significant things happened while I was there. I've told you about that before. One of them was the messy church thing, which we're moving towards. It's wonderful. And other things. But one of them was that I went to a 1 week seminar workshop thing at a church there that was run by David Watson, who's from America and has been a missionary for many years. And I've mentioned this before. I do want to mention it again because this is the passage that it's based on. And he, along with others, have seen amazing things happen because they find a person that God has prepared in a people group, in a language group, or in a village, in North Africa and Central Asia and all across the world and in areas. And they attach themselves to that one person, then through that one person, they give them, audio Bibles or visual Bibles, and they get that person of peace who's still not a Christian to take that and take those Bibles out and to form a little group within their village or within their group. And for them, being mentored by this guy, then ask them various questions when they look into the Bible passage. So here's a group of people who are Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever, or animist, and they're sitting together and they listen to the recording, if it's that what it is, and they play it a couple of times, then they try and repeat it so they really get it into them. And then they ask the question, you know, who's this about? What does this tell us about? And so on. They've got a series of questions. And whole villages are coming to faith. There's mosques that are becoming Jesus followers. It's unbelievable, but it is believable. Because God is able. And it's because they find this person of peace, somebody who God has prepared, and they use that person and depend on the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God is all you need. With a messenger, and the messenger then just gives it to them and lets them, let God do His work. It's just wonderful. I had to bring that in there because, you know, one of the things I'm praying about is that as we reach out to people groups in this area, we may be able to do the same thing, to find somebody whom God has prepared and say, hey, you know, you've got friends and others within your community. Somebody yesterday at our training day said that where they live in a bunch of condos, about 30% of them are from India. And many of them don't speak English, or the wives and parents or whatever. And so, beautiful. What if they had a Bible study without any of us telling them what it means, letting the Spirit of God take the Word of God? And if they start coming along to our outreach here of Let's Talk, and we build a relationship with them, and we find that there's somebody that's interested in spiritual things, in knowing more about the Lord or being a person of peace, as it were, hey, go for it. You see what God could do? Do you see what God could do? Do we really believe God can do that? Yes. He's doing it everywhere. Do you know what? It's not just thousands of people have come to faith. There's thousands upon thousands of churches that have been planted in North Africa, in Central Asia, in Southeast Asia and other places, because of this principle of getting the gospel out in that way. And they're doing it here in America too, in different places, in among people groups. So, there we go. Find a prepared people. The message is something that they have to receive. And if they don't, he says, wipe off the dust. Well, that was something that was wiping the dust off your feet. For the Jewish people going to their own people, the Jewish people in the villages that they went and visited, was a symbolic action. Because the rabbis, had a ruling that if you came from a, pagan country or a Gentile country back into Israel, when you got to the border, you wiped off the dust from your feet, so that you didn't contaminate God's land. And it showed that huge division that was in their thinking between Gentile and the Jew. And so he was saying to these people, you're going out to the Jewish people in these villages, and if they don't receive the kingdom of God, if they're not receiving you, then you can wipe your dust off for them. They are as good as pagans. That's really what he was saying. Outwardly, God's people, but inwardly, far from God. Well, I've got through my first point. Believe me, the next two points are going to be brief. The first one is, which is the second point, why should we be involved in world mission? Not just because we have the divine mandate, but we have the divine means. And Jesus said in Luke 24, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. It wasn't just receiving the Spirit of God for my own walk and talk and my Christian empowerment to live. It was waiting in Jerusalem before you go into all the world with the gospel to be clothed with power in order to do that, to go into all the world and preach the good news to all people. And so the Holy Spirit gives power, first of all, to convict of sin. It says that in John's Gospel, chapter 16. The Spirit of God convicts people of sin. So when you want a person to come to faith in Christ and you love to see them come to faith, it starts with conviction of sin. If you don't realize you're a sinner, you don't need a Savior. You need to be convinced of that. The Spirit of God has the power and does that very thing. Power of God also to convince of the truth. I want to read this verse to you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. When Paul went to Corinth, he said, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. This is the Apostle Paul. My message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we can be weak, fearful, and trembling, yet God will use us. Amen. I want to hear a bigger amen. Sorry. Getting hot. And the power not only to bring conviction of sin and to convince of the truth, but the power to inspire courage. In Acts 4, that wonderful passage where they were fearful, where it says they faced the first threat of persecution, they prayed, they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the Word of God with boldness. Okay, let's go to the third point, which is we have the divine message. And I want you to be very conscious of what Jesus is saying here in chapter 24. I want you to go, the commission is to take the gospel. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance is my response to Christ. That I realize I'm a sinful person. I'm going a sinful direction. I'm living a sinful life. I'm quite happy with the things I'm doing, or some of them even. And I'm willing to turn from that. I'm willing to turn away from that sinful lifestyle and follow Jesus and trust Him to be our Savior. So that's the first thing, repentance. And the second one is forgiveness, which is that when you do that and when you put your faith in Christ, you're forgiven all your sins. It's a message of the gospel that we're to take. You say, well, we need to feed the hungry and care for the sick and help the poor. Yes. But the commission isn't to do that. We should do that anyway. The commission is to take the gospel. I was the other day, recently, in a group meeting from different churches, and somebody stood up at the end and said, oh, we do a lot of good things to help people in refugees overseas and all that kind of thing, but we don't try and convert them. Like, that was a big plus for them. We don't try and convert them. What?
Jesus said to go and make disciples. Jesus said to take the gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's our commission. Yes, we're to help them. The love that motivates us to love our neighbor as ourself and even love our enemies is the same love that sees their bigger need of salvation. The Lausanne Covenant, which is a covenant that was put together after a conference or at a conference for all evangelical Christian leaders from all across the world. And in that covenant it says, in the church's mission of sacrificial sacrifice, evangelism is primary. We and our group of churches have a huge history of helping people in need. And this very congregation is massively behind that. But the priority is the gospel. Never forget it. The priority above everything else is the gospel. Now we don't reach out with the helping people physically in order to share the gospel. We just reach out physically because they need the help. And we love them. But we don't then think we've done what God wants us to do. Because we haven't. Until we share the gospel. The greatest need is forgiveness. The last song is a new song, just like an earlier one was. And so I'm going to play the piano for it to help us lead it through. It's a little bit tricky, but I'm sure you'll get it. And let's just think about the words of this song as we finish up our time together this morning.